You are listening to KTZR, Cats and Jammer Radio.
Today I am talking with Jim O'Hare, who most people know as Jerry Gergich from Parks and Recreation. How are you doing today, Jerry?
I'm good, Nick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Gergich. Get Gergich, that damn name right.
Well, the entire time before here, I was like, do not call him Jerry. Don't call him Jerry. And then right in your introduction, I called you Jerry. But
it's fine. I have people literally yell from their cars, damn it, Jerry. Literally, as I'm walking down a street.
That was one of the questions I had to ask you. On the streets, do you have more people that yell, damn it, Jerry? Or do you have people that are like, oh, I feel so sorry for you, and they try to make up for what happens to you on the show?
I have both of that. I have all of that. I have people, when they do a drive-by where they're just yelling from their car, it's very much, damn it, Jerry, you ruin everything, Jerry, that kind of thing, and which just makes me laugh. I mean, it doesn't. I love it, because they're not doing it to be jerks. It's just literally, you know, I love it. I love that that means they watch the show and they're fans, and that's awesome. But then you will get the people who are so like, oh, I can't believe what you have to go through every day on that show. And, you know, they're just so mean to you sometimes and blah, blah, blah. And I try to explain, okay, two things. One, I am an actor. I am playing a part. And two, when the cameras aren't rolling, they're like my best buds, everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no worries. And, you know, getting to play Jerry is just a gift. I mean, it's the kind of role I haven't played before, which is really cool. So I love it. And when people acknowledging it in any way is just great. I appreciate it.
So there you go, folks. If you see Jim on the street, you can easily shout, damn it, Jerry, or whatever the heck.
And I'll be fine with it. Absolutely. Yeah. I was leaving a restaurant one day, and this guy and his parent, I guess his girlfriend, were in a convertible, and they drove through the parking lot and yelled, you ruined the Harvest Festival, Jerry, and drove off. I mean, literally, you ruined the Harvest Festival, Jerry, and we're gone. It was like a hit and run. Yeah, but I loved it. It was like, okay, yeah, I did have a part in that. I'll take that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, and then that leads into another question I have, too. One of the best things of Parks and Rec is how well the cast works together. So on set, do you guys all have that great chemistry that we see on screen?
Yeah, this is like the grossest answer because, as a TV, I've always been a TV guy, and I love watching behind the scenes on TV shows and everything. And you'd see all these people, oh, we're like a family, and oh, my God, we love each other, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear later, that was BS, you know, when you hear the real deal.
Right.
The difference with Parks is, and again, it sounds so gross, but it is like a family. We all get along so well, and believe me, we're going to season six. That's pretty unusual because normally by season six, I don't know, other things have happened and there can be tensions and some actors who just never really clicked and it just only gets tougher and tougher. Mm-hmm. We have none of that. I mean, literally none of that. We laugh all day long. We from the beginning in the hair and makeup trailers, we are all joking around, having a good time. And then it goes down through the day, and then at lunch, I'm not privy to it because I sweat too much and the hair and makeup people hate it, but they have a dance party at lunch in the trailer sometimes.
Jeez.
I mean, the atmosphere is really something I've never experienced before, and that's why, you know, we were waiting to hear if we were going to come back this season. You know, it's always the big, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And my fear was never that, you know, because the show will go away. All shows do. They all have a lifespan, and then that's that. My fear wasn't like, oh, my gosh, we'll all, you know, will we find other work? You know, what will happen? I just can't imagine not being with these people every day. You know, that to me will be the toughest part of leaving Parks. It won't be even the paycheck. It won't be the, you know, the work. It's going to be like being with these amazing people. Amy is just the kindest woman I think you'd ever meet, and she has a lot of, you know, technically, she has a lot of power. If she wanted to be that crazy actor, powerful, you know, I'm me and you guys, you know, it's just not her. She is just this person, always making sure that we're comfortable, making sure that we're comfortable. You know, like if there's certain scenes that she thinks we might have an issue with, she'll check in with us. So anyway, it's just, I could go on all day about it. It's amazing. Nick Offerman is just the nicest guy. He's awesome. Chris Pratt, he's got the heart. Just, he's just one big heart. Aubrey and Aziz and Retta is my, I call Retta my set wife because we just always do stuff together. And Rashida is just not gorgeous, but she's wonderful and kind. And Rob Lowe, you know, who I've known, not known, but known of, you know, most of my life, is just funny and dear. And Aziz is, you know, crazy Aziz. It's just awesome. It's just absolutely an awesome set. Adam Scott, he's number one. He's a great actor, and the way he plays the stuff he does with Ben is just, oh my God, I could watch it all day long. So yeah, it's a gift. This show is truly a gift, and you know, it will go away. Maybe this will be the last season. Who knows? That will be my biggest regret that it's gone, is that I won't be with these people anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, it's so tangible, the chemistry you guys have. You know, there's so many comedies and sitcoms and everything that come and go, and you know, on occasion you'll have that great cast that just meshes so well together that you can clearly see on screen.
I think so too. And I always tell people, if you want to see kind of our camaraderie, you know, we've done those, there's these things called the Paley Fest. Some people will know of them, some people might not, but they're online and you can see them, and that's when you see us just sort of playing with each other, and that's real. That's how we go back and forth at work. You know, with busting some balls, but also, you know, and here's an interesting thing. One of the producers said to me, the only complaint he's ever gotten from a director about us, because we do have different directors come and go, you know, because pre-production is so intense that it's tough to have the same director 2 weeks in a row. But one of the directors said to the producer, it's just tough to get these guys to stop talking, like to each other. You know what I mean? Like, and our producer said, if that's the biggest problem our show has, we're in great shape. You know, like, if it takes an extra minute to get us all, you know, on our marks and ready to go because we're chatting with each other and laughing and enjoying each other, that's a good problem to have.
Exactly. And yeah. I've watched all the gag reels and everything for each season, and those are not only hysterical, but it's always nice to see that inside look at, you know, how everything does and how you guys interact with each other, and, you know.
Which is why I said I love that. Like, I love behind the scenes on television shows. Mm-hmm. Any time over the years that I could get a hold of that stuff, I would love it. So I do love watching Parks because, again, that's, you're going to see the real deal. You see how people can't stop laughing at each other. You know, I mean, eventually we have to because the show has to be shot, you know. But, yeah, I think behind the scenes are great, and there are some classic Parks behind the scenes moments.
There are. Whenever anyone breaks character, it's just...
Well, the one that killed me, and I won't just say exactly what it was because it's, I don't know what the language barriers are on your show.
There
was one with Chris Pratt, and we were talking about somebody was going to have a comeback.
Yep.
About the Kardashian thing, and I'm telling you, I could watch that right now and lose my mind.
I actually just finished the actual episode. I've been rewatching the show, and I remember, because once you watch the gag reel and then you watch the show, you're like, they cracked up in that scene, and then you kind of always look to see if you guys are smiling a little bit.
Sure, sure. I've done all that. I love that. Yeah.
Or another good scene is when Ben and Tom are at dinner with...
With Mo Collins. Yeah. Oh, Joan Calamezzo. Holy crap. Is she going to powder? Is she going to... Yeah. What is it? Powder her vagina. Is she going to put cologne or powder her vagina?
In the gag reel, they keep showing Adam Scott whispering the line. And then in the actual final cut, he's kind of saying it loud and you kind of don't see his face.
Right,
so
right.
Kind of wondering if they try to do a little trick to kind of hide that.
Exactly. You have to, because sometimes you cannot, like, sometimes something will hit. And really, when that happens, like, especially Rashida, when that happens to Rashida, she'll just keep going, I'm so sorry. I know this is so unprofessional. I'm so sorry. But we all have been there. Sometimes you can't get through a scene. For whatever reason, something is striking you crazy funny. And, you know, we're all humans. You can only do what you can do. And then eventually, you know, you got to make it happen. But that's it. Because, first of all, Mo Collins, who plays Joan Calamezzo, I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but she is she's a brilliant.
I loved her on Mad TV.
Oh, she's brilliant. And she's another, just one of the kind people. She works so well on our set. She walks in. Of course, we all know who she was at the beginning because of Mad TV and some other stuff. She's also just a great person and just so funny and wanting everything to work. So working with her is some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, and well, that actually brings me to my next question as well. And I know that you have a lot of experience with improv, you know, doing theater work and everything like that. How much of the show is actually improvised?
Well, sadly, because a lot of people give us way more credit than we deserve. First of all, let me explain. We do something called a fun run after every scene. Now, what that means, almost every scene, depending on time. But what the fun run means is after the director's happy and the writers are happy and the actors are happy with the scene that we've shot, you know, according to the script, we do a fun run, which means we can have fun with it and we can add or do whatever we want to do. And it can get crazy. And sometimes some amazing stuff comes out of a fun run because most of us have an improv background. But that being said, the script is so strong by the time we start shooting that it's mostly what people are mostly seeing. I would say, I'd even say 95%, maybe 90%, but I think closer to 95% is the actual script. It is not the improv stuff. Now, sometimes some amazing stuff will come out of improv, and our exec producer, Mike Schur, has said, you know, some of the funniest things he thinks has happened on the show have been those moments where something happened out of improv. But it's rare. I mean, the scripts are just so strong. And believe me, I'm blown away every week. We do a table read either Wednesday or Thursday, depending on, you know, schedules and all that kind of stuff. And you sit down and you go, damn, they did it again. Because, you know, shows, as a TV watcher my whole life, you can have your favorite series in the whole world, and there's going to be hit and miss episodes. That's, you know, it's just, I don't know. And maybe a miss to you is a hit to somebody else. You know, I mean, that's
Right.
the nature of, you know, opinions and what people think about things. I think Parks has gotten stronger every season, and I don't know of a show that's done that. And I say that not out of bragging, because I'm not writing it. I mean, it's these writers, you know, headed by Mike Schur and Dan Gore, and they're just, I don't know, they've gotten to know us all so well. And, I mean, they know how to write for us and to us. And so, yeah, you know, just to answer your question, it's mostly them. I mean, you do see some things that are us, and we do play around a lot, but it's mostly them.
It's amazing that, you know, obviously 6 seasons in, and to any show, that alone is an achievement. And then
yeah,
the fact that
exactly.
The quality continues to rise with you guys is just amazing. Because, you know, the first season you guys were great, and you're finding your characters and everything. And then, you know, once season two hits and you guys really figure out what each character is like, it just opens up this new world where you guys just run with it. And it's
totally
so
agree.
Hilarious.
In my opinion, the show for me, I mean, I've always loved it, of course. But to me, the show that just, I don't know, sort of spoke to who we were and who we were going to be as a group with season two, I'm going to say episode four. I'm not 100% sure, but it was the hunting trip episode.
I was just
where
going
we
to
all
say
go.
That, actually.
What's that?
I was actually just going to point that out. I thought
oh,
that
yeah.
was
I mean,
one of the episodes.
That to me, because I think we're at our best, number one, when we're all together, you know, when we're all thrown in some crazy situation. And there are some scenes in that show, like Amy talking to the park ranger. Oh, my gosh. With, you know, the one about, you know, she realizes he's a misogynist, so she just needs to cut down women, and those one-liners are just brilliant. And Nick getting shot in the head, and the booze, and them trying to get him to stop from taking the pills. I mean, to me, that and Retta, you know, playing Donna, running at Aubrey, running at Amy when she thinks she's the one who shot her Mercedes Benz. I mean,
yeah.
There is just some great, great moments in that episode. And I really feel, to me, it's one of my all-time favorites overall. But I also believe it was, I think a turning point, in my view, of this is who we are going to be. This is who, this is what this show is. It's actually directed by Greg Daniels, the guy who, you know, co-created us.
Yeah, and like I was going to say, that I think that's the episode that really stood out for me, at least. And I know sometimes people are like, you know, Parks and Recs is great, you know, just when's that moment, if you will, when it really starts to click. And, you know, the hunting trip is great. And I agree. All the episodes where you guys are all together are some of the best episodes. For instance, I just finished rewatching The Comeback Kid, which is when Leslie's trying to do her first introduction speech at the ice rink.
Oh, and my God. Oh, my God.
You guys
God.
All come together, and the whole entire sequence coming out on the ice, I don't think.
That scene coming out on the ice, and that was another thing. If you watch, we could not get through it. We were laughing so hard, because believe me, we were slipping and sliding. There was no, like, they had put these little spikes on the bottom of our shoes because they didn't want us, you know, to be falling and stuff.
Right.
They put these little spikes on the bottom of our shoes. They did nothing. I mean, at least that I could tell. I was sliding all over the place. So when we are trying to help her get on that podium, we are hysterical. Like, it is crazy hysterical laughing. And, you know, Amy's been around this biz long enough. She knows to turn her head away from the camera. So if you watch, you can see her trying to turn her head away because it was so out of control, but a classic Parks moment. Just, I think, a classic Parks moment.
I think a classic TV moment, too. It reminded me a lot of, like, the Dick Van Dyke Show or, you know, old school comedy with the slapstick humor and the physical comedy.
Sure, which, you know, that's my very, very favorite. I'm an old school comic. That's like, the other night, we were all at an event. We were up for a Critics' Choice Award, and they gave the Lifetime Achievement Award to Bob Newhart. Now, most people your age would probably say, who is Bob Newhart? But he's
Bob
from...
Robert.
Yeah, well, but I think you're a TV guy, so you're, you know,
exactly.
You're into all that. I was, like, just shaking in my boots, like, oh, my God, he's right there. He's 2 feet from me. You know, like, that to me, those kind of people are iconic. But yeah, I agree that the ice thing was just a great moment.
It was, and actually that was a good leeway into my next question. And you've been a TV actor. You've been an actor for, 25 years. Through, you know, your credits and everything like that. And you've made tons of appearances on all sorts of, you know, TV shows and everything like that, and including Diagnosis Murder, which, you know, you were on with Dick Van Dyke.
I worked with Dick Van Dyke!
So, throughout your entire career, minus the people on Parks and Rec, who are the people you loved working with the most?
Well, Dick Van Dyke was always, like, that was unbelievable. Like, literally, you know, you go in, you audition, I booked the role, and it's for a role that's very unlike anything I'd ever played. I was a mass murderer, and like this, I was like cutting out women's tongues and putting butterfly. It was lunacy. It was just this crazy guy. But they wanted a guy who you would least suspect. You know what I mean? So I was the gregarious, you know, kind of guy. But it turns out I'm scary and dark, and I'm a killer. Yeah. So I booked that job, and of course you're excited you get a booking, and then I'm like, oh my God, that's with Dick Van Dyke. Dude, I lost my shit. I the first day I shot with him, we were shooting in Malibu at some house in Malibu. The first, because you know some stuff, especially that show and a lot of your procedurals, they have sets in a where, you know, in the soundstage for their main, you know, offices and all that kind of stuff. But then they do a lot of location stuff bouncing around. So my first day was at this house. I see him. I'm probably 20 feet from him when I first get there, and I see him, and I'm thinking, well, now I can't do this. Like, I'm too damn nervous. This is crazy. So I just walked up to him and said, I just have to get this out. I am just blown away that I'm standing next to you. You are, like, such an icon to me. I went on and on. And then he stops me in my tracks and said, no. You're the true actor. I just do some performing stuff. Uh-huh. He was so self-deprecating and so welcoming and, well, by the end of the week, we were doing Laurel and Hardy impressions together because he's obsessed with Laurel and Hardy. Mm-hmm. It was a dream come true, literally a dream come true. We were in the hair and makeup one morning, and he's just happens to be sitting there singing some songs from Mary Poppins, you know, the movie he did 100 years ago. And
right.
It was all, the whole week to me was surreal. I kept thinking, like, what am I doing here? This is Dick Van Dyke. Like, damn, this is Dick Van Dyke. So, he is absolutely top of my never thought it would happen kind of list. And I love celebrities. I just always have. And by love them, I don't mean, I don't, you know, I just, I think it's exciting. I love the TV and film world, and I think it's exciting. So even now, I go to different events, and I'm like, damn, you know, there's like, you know, the other night, the cast from him, I'm still starstruck, absolutely. And I kind of hope that doesn't go away. You know, because it makes a lot of these events that I would normally hate going to really exciting. Like the other night, I love this season of American Horror Story. And at the Critics' Choice Awards, so many of the different shows were there. Bryan Cranston was there from Breaking Bad, and the people from American Horror Story, and just amazing. A bunch of people who used to be on Lost, which was one of my favorite shows at the time. So I love that. And so I love meeting those people. I'm probably a little too effusive with my compliments because I'm like, you know, like a fan. My favorite thing then is when they'll say, oh my God, I love your work on Parks. I'm like, you watch my work? How is that possible? I love you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, top of my list would be Dick Van Dyke. I've got to, I've got to meet and I didn't work with, but I got to hang a little bit with Mary Tyler Moore, who of course I was in love with as a kid, and that was awesome. I'm an SNL fan, so I've met and worked with a bunch of the old timers on SNL. That's amazing to me. I worked with John Lithgow once on Third Rock from the Sun. I worked with David Spader on Boston Legal. That was incredible. The list can go on and on. I've had a very, very blessed career. I've always been, I used to call myself, I was the king of the guest star, because I literally was making a decent living just doing guest star roles. Nothing permanent, you know, or maybe some would last two or three episodes, but in general, just show after show after show after show. So then to land something like Parks is such a gift, because, you know, again, six seasons is very rare in television.
It is. And, you know, with that too, you guys at Parks and Community were the only two shows on NBC, only two comedies on NBC that were will be on the schedule again next year.
Yeah.
So what do you think that says about the show, as well as do you think there's an added level of pressure moving forward?
Well, it says a lot. You know, we never have, and I'm stealing a line from Amy, we've never been able to breathe. Parks has never had the success ratings-wise that you can go, oh, well, for sure we're coming back next year. You know, like your Modern Families and your How I Met Your Mothers and your Two Broke Girls. They have the kind of numbers that say, oh, well, we're coming back next year no matter what. We've never had that. So every year, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? So this year in particular, I mean, there was none of the new NBC shows, and they hyped the crap out of them during the Olympics. You know, the Matthew Perry Go On show and that Animal Practice, and there was another one that kept hyping. You know, with Tempest Bledsoe from Guys with Kids?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Guys with Kids, yeah. So believe me, these shows got major, major pushes like you can't believe. Parks, to be honest, NBC has never been very free with their advertising for Parks. So you didn't see much about us. Then the season starts, and they come out of the gate pretty strong because they put them after The Voice. And so they had these big numbers. But then when the shows had to go on their own, their numbers just literally exploded. You know, they crashed.
Everything was canceled.
Everything was canceled. So I was shocked. I was really shocked. And it's 'cause my big fear for us was, I knew if they were going to bring some shows back, I felt we deserved to be one of them. The reason I say that is, even though our ratings aren't great, we were still the number one show. Well, I shouldn't say the number one show is The Office, but The Office was wrapping up. Mm-hmm. You know, after last season, there's no more The Office. So we were technically their number one comedy after The Office. Again, this is NBC, and the ratings, they are very ratings challenged. But what we do have going for us are a couple of things. Number one, critically, we're, you know, the darlings of, you know, critics love us. Last year, Time Magazine called us the best show on television. The other thing is, the world is changing, and people your age and people in their 20s and 30s are not watching traditional television. They're watching it on Netflix and Hulu and on their iPhones and iPads and all this other stuff. So they know, because Hulu will always, you know, Hulu gives their numbers every week, and Hulu's like, Parks is in top five all the time. That's just a given. And Netflix, we're always in the top, I think, maybe top five, definitely top 10. So they have to start looking. Like, in other words, our audience is much bigger than ratings would lead you to believe.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have the younger people who are obsessed with us. Like, I went to visit my niece at Purdue University in Lafayette in Indiana, and there were some people running from the room when they saw me walking by their window. I mean, it was wild, and it was awesome. But it's like, you talk about an example of, our actual ratings are not being represented by Nielsen anymore. Mm-hmm. In my opinion. So to say we got picked up, I think we deserved it, number one, because I think, I just think we did. And I was nervous, though, because I thought if he just, you know, Jeff Greenblatt is the head of the network, and he could have said, nothing really gets great numbers. Let's clean house. Mm-hmm. And if they clean house, then we're gone. And let's face it, they basically did clean house, except for us in Community.
Mm-hmm. Which were, you know, two very good examples of shows that you mentioned that, you know, may not have the best ratings, you know, with Nielsen ratings or anything like that. But you two shows are like the biggest things on the internet. You know, there's tons of
everything.
Exactly,
and they have to realize that's the world now. You know, like it or not, this is the world. people are, you know, I have some rental properties. Anyway, I only say that because it's mostly young people living in them. They don't have a television in the house. There is no television or phone line. Mm-hmm. It's all cell phones and their computers.
Exactly.
So the world has changed. You know, it's totally changed. And you have to keep up with that. And supposedly Nielsen is doing some new, there's going to be some new tracking of something. I don't know. I hope they figure it out, because I think some shows that are going away don't deserve to be going away, maybe, if they knew the actual amount of people that were watching them.
Exactly. And then, you know, there's news of, you know, Kickstarter starting up here and there for, like, Veronica Mars and other shows that people are trying to bring back. And I think that's definitely something that Nielsen, especially, who personally I've had some problems with, and I assume you probably do too as a TV star, is just how they do some certain things.
Absolutely.
You know, not paying attention to the true fan base. Like,
right.
And even if the fans may not be as, you know, large in numbers as some other ones, Parks and Rec and Community, these two examples that we're using, have some of the best fans I think I've ever seen in a TV show in my, you know, short little life. But
yeah, no, they're loyal. They're dedicated.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the other thing that these, you know, the people don't, whether people agree with this or don't agree with them, I really, in many ways, don't agree with it, but the advertisers are concerned about 18. Their big number is 18 to 34, but ultimately, like, 18 to, I think it's 49, but ultimately 18 to 34. So even though your shows on CBS might be getting just huge numbers, they're not the numbers that technically advertisers are looking for. You know what I mean? They want people like you. That's who the advertisers want to play to, which to me doesn't make sense, because nowadays, number one, people are living longer. I'm 50. I spend money, but apparently they don't care about the money I spend, because I'm outside of their demographics. And in my world, and my friends and families and people my age and my cohorts, we spend money, you know, so I don't know, but they don't seem to care. So, but the point I'm trying to make is, technically to an advertiser, Parks is more, you know, How I Met Your Mother. Because How I Met Your Mother, they'll have more eyeballs watching the show.
Right.
It's not the premier eyeballs that advertisers are looking for.
That's very true. You know, it's the whole, you know, quantity over quality kind of thing as well.
Right. And yeah, definitely.
I'm personally, you know, ecstatic more than anything that you both are back, because Parks and Rec and Community are probably my two favorite shows on TV, and I know both of you guys were down to the wire on whether or not you're going to get renewed.
Well, and you heard that Dan Harmon's coming back.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if NBC's trying to finally, you know, figure that out and realize that, you know, you guys both got gold on your hands and run with
well,
it. But
yeah, well, not to, you know, get too, you know, my personal opinions about different things, but Harmon shouldn't have been let go, and someone who should have been let go is now gone, and I think it will make a world of difference. And I'll just leave it at that. People can figure out what I'm saying by that.
Yes, there have been many conversations about what was going on over there. But
yeah, well, and I know some of the cast, and I know some of the stuff, and I think there was just a big cluster F going on over there, and I think this will be so amazing to see what happens, you know, now that he's back.
Definitely. Yeah, and who knows what will happen with the future of the show. But
yeah,
who
knows? Even with Parks, because in my mind I'm thinking, this will probably, you know, they gave us a full 22, which is awesome. This could be our swan song. This could be it. And then I say, well, I thought that last year. So who the, you know? You don't know. It will be what it is.
And, you know, a very similar show in The Office lasted 9 seasons. So
I know.
You guys got lots of room to run, hopefully.
Yeah, oh, please. I used to say to my friends, I mean, literally, I would say, if a miracle ever happens, if the stars align and I get a series and I, you know, it's running for a couple of years and you hear me say things like, I think I'm going to leave, you know, before the show ends, I said, you kill me. You absolutely take a gun and put it to my head, because when you hear people leaving hit shows, you're like, what are you doing? Because they want to do other things. Well, those other things will still be there when the show ends. Enjoy what you got. Appreciate what you have. Because this is a tough business. Acting is a tough business. Television is a tough business. So if you have a job where someone's employing you on a regular basis and you're not miserable, like in our case, just the opposite of miserable, we're all like just so damn happy, I just can't imagine leaving. I just can't. But it happens. You hear about it every year.
Yeah, and so many times, too, I just don't understand it, because, you know, it seems like it'd be so much fun to, have that, security and knowing you can
Absolutely,
come back to. And
absolutely.
then, like in your instance, for an example, being that happy on set with everyone, why would you want to leave it? Sure,
Exactly.
movies are bigger, if you will, but TV's really gained a lot of traction lately, especially with cable networks that are becoming more like movies, bigger budgets, and everything's changing constantly. So,
Oh
TV is
yeah, Nick,
not.
10 years ago, a movie star wouldn't have done a television show. They wouldn't have even
Exactly.
guessed it on a television show. Now you have Glenn Close leading Damages. My good, I mean, what does that tell you? It tells you TV is the real deal. I mean,
Exactly.
that's, and I've been a TV fan all my life. And if someone asked me once, what would you do if you never were able to break into film? Okay, as long as I get to keep working in television, I would be that. I will go out a very. I will have lived a very, in my opinion, happy, successful life, and I will have had a good career. Do I want to do films? Of course, but like everybody wants to do different things. But television is awesome, and there's nothing but crap on television. All that's BS. That is such BS. Number one, not just Parks, because I do think we're awesome. You got Community. You have, your Damages, your Breaking Bad. These are all on television. These are not films. These are on television. So for people to go, there's nothing to watch. It's like, well, that doesn't flow with me.
Well, and even with the Netflix model that they're changing up and everything, House of Cards,
Yeah.
$140 million TV show starring Kevin Spacey, who would have ever thought that
Who would
something
have
like that would
ever
happen?
thought? And how awesome is Robin Wright on that?
She's amazing, beautiful, and
Wow.
she's the Black Widow that would completely devour a UFC.
Oh, absolutely. And you'd love it for a second, and then
Then you'd be
you'd be
terrified.
miserable. Yeah, no, awesome. Just awesome. Yeah, it's a different world. Again, like we have, I'm sure, I don't know how much this is out there, but we're not going to have Chris Pratt. For a couple of episodes, because he is now the new, I'm going to say Captain Marvel, maybe, or
In the Guardians of the Galaxy.
that's what it is. Exactly.
Right.
He is the lead. So he's in London right now shooting, they've started shooting this month. So Parks is going to, he's going to do I forget how they're going to do it. He's going to shoot back and forth a little. But anyway, I guess what I'm getting to is the producers on Parks are so awesome because they could have said to him, no. You're under contract. You start back in August. This is when we go back to work. But that's not, from day one, they have said to us, we will try to work around all of your schedules because the more you guys are out there, the better it is for the show. And if you think about it, we are now going to have the new superhero is one of the stars of Parks and Recreation. That's a huge thing.
Well,
That's huge.
Chris Pratt, everyone loves him from Parks and Rec, and then finally seeing him get that break, it's just like,
Oh,
it's
and
so
again, I
cool.
know I said it earlier, you will not find a nicer, more loving guy than Chris Pratt, and so supportive of what you're doing. And here's a perfect example, and I was talking about this, I think with either Ad, forget, but a lot of times when actors, even friends or whatever, there could be some like, oh damn, I would have loved to have gotten that part, or oh gosh darn, oh, they're so damn lucky. When Chris Pratt, when the word came down that he got that role, I actually teared up a little, and I'm not a crier by nature. It was such an immediate sense of happiness for him that there was, it was because knowing him and knowing what an amazing talent he is, and more importantly, what a great guy he is, and he's got a great family, and he just had the baby, and it was just joy. It was just happiness. There was no actory like, oh, really? Well, I haven't been up for a film, and none of that bull crap. It was absolute joy for him because he's such a great guy.
I can only imagine. And it's cool because when you look at your cast, all of you guys are amazing, and the fact that all of you guys are together is a whole nother story. It's like all the stars aligned and everything like that. But it is really cool seeing all of you guys pop up, in movies and stuff like that, where you wouldn't expect, to see all you guys everywhere when you're doing a TV show. Like Nick Offerman, for instance, he's
Oh my
popping up
God.
everywhere now, and
Not
it
only
may
that, he and his wife is Megan Mullally, who plays
Tammy too.
the Tammy too. The two of them did a play this summer, actually more like late spring. You should have seen the two. It was just a two-person play. It was incredible, And it was Nick doing something you don't see Nick normally do, which is so great for an actor. You know, because, you know, Nick is in a, it's going to be interesting with Nick because, you know, there's a lot of Nick in Ron Swanson. You know, Nick is a woodworker and Nick, you know, there's that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Ron is such a deep character. He might have to fight stereotyping over the years. But he did this play, and you'd leave there and you would never even think about Ron Swanson. You might when you first see him because he looks like Ron Swanson. Mm-hmm. But by the time that play was over, it was just like, whoa, look what he just did. It was amazing.
Well, and with that too, actually, I know you've done a lot of stage work. Are you returning to the stage soon, or do you have plans for that, or
I would love it like you can't believe. And I recently in the past year went with new agents who are also out of New York, and they know to keep their eyes open during hiatus for me. So I definitely want to. It was where I started. It's a passion. When I go see friends and plays, I immediately leave like revved up, like I got to get back in. You know, I got to get back on the stage and mm-hmm. da da da. But, and this is gross, this is a very L.A. thing to say, but it can be very tough because of Parks, you know, I've been getting offers to do stuff on the hiatus, and it's tough to turn down. You know, I'm literally shooting two TV films simultaneously. Like, one day I'm on this set, one day I'm on that set. That's tough to say no to, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? So I want to, and I think probably when Parks is over, it will be a no-brainer, and I'll definitely do some theater. But I'm also taking advantage of the offers that are given to me now, I guess I should say.
Which is completely, you know, understandable. I know that that's where you started, and I know that a lot of actors are returning to the stage now, kind of similar how to a lot of actors are coming back to TV or coming to TV
right.
for the first time. And
exactly.
You know,
and I'm all about theater. Like, literally one of the reasons I went with the agent I went with is because of their presence in New York. To me, the dream would be, you know, you do a season of a show, and then on a hiatus, you're on a Broadway stage. I mean, that I can't even imagine anything greater than that. So hopefully that would happen, you know, but who knows. But, yeah, the stage is such immediate gratification. It's terrifying. It's exciting. It's, you know, the first 30 seconds, you think you're going to vomit at any second when you're opening on an opening night. And then there's something about that next 30 seconds, you go, this is awesome. And then, you know, you just have a great time.
Do you prefer stage over film or film TV?
Wow, they're so... Wait, film over TV or stage?
Stage over film and TV.
Or
what do you prefer the most, I should say?
Well, it's... Oh, boy. I don't think I've ever asked that. I'm going to say... First of all, two totally different worlds, literally two totally different worlds. Once a play is up and running, you show up half hour before, call time of the show. It shows at 8, you got to be there by 7:30. Depending mm-hmm. how long the show is, you're out the door by 10:30. You know, so it could be a three-hour day, you know, where you're working in TV and film. Parks, we shoot single camera. I could have a 6:30 in the morning call and get home at 10 o'clock that night. You know, that doesn't happen a lot, but I'm just saying, with single camera, that can happen. So the hours are completely different. But I do love being on sets. I love watching the cameras come together. I love when the lighting is happening. Boy, I don't know. I guess I'm going to say I love them both equally, but
okay.
For very different reasons.
Understandable. They're very different, obviously.
They're very different. They're just so different. They're just completely mm-hmm. different.
Well, and then one last question, too, that I kind of have is, you know, towards the last season, Jerry retired, and you know you popped up. Because
he did
you liked,
what?
you
Nick, what are you
retired.
Saying? I better look at that last script. What are you talking about? No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But then you pop up later saying, you know, you just like hanging out with these guys.
Right.
So what's next for Jerry? Are you still back as a regular, or are you doing like not guest starring, but not
recurring.
Are we going to see as much Jerry as we have in the past?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me explain. I get you know, we get sent the script the night before the table read. Mm-hmm. So I think the table read was a Wednesday that week. I could be wrong, but so Tuesday night, I forget on my trailer or maybe I was home at that point. It doesn't matter. And I'm looking and I'm like, oh, we got the next week's script. And I open it up and the title is Jerry's Retirement. I'm like, son of a bitch.
It finally happened.
Yes, like for an actor, you're like, oh, no, no. And then I'm thinking, wouldn't they have sat me down to tell me they were getting rid of me? It just seems like I wouldn't find out about it in a script, you know. And anyway, no. So Jerry will be back full time. I can't say how or how it's all playing out. But and actually, it was funny because then became a running joke. Like Nick Offerman would say to me during the day, "It has been so much fun working with you. I really wish you the best of luck." You know, like I'm leaving, and then Amy would be like, "You know, they're just joking, right?" Because Amy, she would never want to think your feelings were hurt.
Right.
I'm like, "No, I get it, I get it." So yes, and I got emails from producers saying, Jerry's not going anywhere, but you know, we have been saying for 4 years that I'm retiring in two.
Exactly.
So they just felt it had to be addressed, and so mm-hmm. they addressed it, and then other things will be addressed in the new season that will make, you know, explain why, you know, I'm no longer sitting at home.
Probably just another Jerry luck that will probably bring you back to the office.
I mean, I sort of have an idea which way they're going with it, and it'll mm-hmm. be like, oh, of course. That's Jerry. There you go. So I just want more scenes with my wife, Christie Brinkley.
Yeah. You know, it's Jerry has all these moments where everyone's, you know, bashing him and everything
yeah.
like that. And then you always have these moments that just kind of glorify or make up for everything else, you know.
Well,
your
Nick,
beautiful
the
daughters.
Yeah. Well, the doctors, you know, the doctors. See, I'll never forget season three, first episode. That man has the largest penis I have ever
yes.
seen. Yeah. I mean, how do you fight that? And, you know,
exactly.
I found out later because, you know, the way we shoot is, you know, I shot my stuff and then he had another scene where he talks to the camera that mm-hmm. I wasn't in. So they shot that later. They had him do a version of that man has the smallest penis I have ever seen. So I was like, you guys, please don't. Jerry has enough. Don't go down that road. But their whole point is, and it makes sense, the only reason you can be how you are to me, that they can keep slamming me time after time, is that ultimately Jerry has the best life out of any of them.
Mm-hmm.
He has an amazing family who love him as if he was the king walking in every night. His wife thinks he's the most handsome man that has ever walked the planet. So he has these amazing things in his life. A huge penis, he's a talented artist, he's got all these amazing things that they don't have. And in the Jerry retirement episode, when you see Leslie come to the house, which is terrifying when she sees us eat breakfast and we sing our little song, but you know, she realizes Jerry's got it all. He really has it all. Work is not the most important thing in the world. Family is. So that's why they can get away with it, because they give Jerry so much great stuff.
Right. You know, if they throw you a bone every here and there. And,
and a big bone, as it turns out.
Hello. And, yeah. Well, I guess, last question that I'm curious about. First of all, when I was telling people that I was going to be interviewing you, I had a lot of feedback that was amazing, insane, you know. So many questions that people had for you and wanting me to ask every little thing. But, you know, the root of it all was that everyone loves you, and lots of times – most of the time, you're kind of the favorite character on the show for
oh, that's very sweet. That's nice to hear.
You know, you're the underdog, obviously.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's easier to root for the underdog and everyone else, but your character's so relatable and, you know, sympathetic, and you just want to give Jerry a big old hug.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
But one thing I want to ask real quick, too, is who's the most like their character? And with you, too, you know, are you a lot like Jerry where, you know, are you an artist? Are you a classical piano player or anything like that? And you mentioned earlier that Nick Offerman's a lot like Ron Swanson and Aziz is a lot like Tom. Which character stands out as being the actor, if you will?
Okay, as far as Jerry goes, the only thing I really have in common is the massive penis. That's just, I think a writer must have got a peek in the restroom. That's the only thing I'll guarantee on that one. No, I don't paint, I don't draw. As a matter of fact, I did a show once where they needed childlike drawings, and they had me do it, and they said, just do it how you would really do it. And they were childlike, because I have no talent whatsoever in that world. I don't paint. I don't, no, I'm very different than Jerry. What I hope I have in common with Jerry, I think Jerry's very kind, and I think kindness is very simple, and I don't understand why there's not more of it. because it doesn't take a whole lot to be kind. And I'm not saying everybody doesn't have terrible days and you have crabby days, and you know, we all have that. That's life. But in general, I think kindness is kind of simple. And so I think Jerry's very kind. I mean, he lets things roll off his back. He ultimately would do anything for any one of those people if they needed him. So I'd like to think there's some of me in there, but I don't know. Other people would have to judge that. As far as most like their character, I guess I would say Nick, but I with a caveat of Nick is not politically like Ron Swanson. Nick is not...
anti-government.
He's not anti-government. He's not anti-children. He's not... in many ways, he's not. But there's so many similarities that they've written for Ron that are Nick. I mean, mm-hmm. they shoot. When there's been scenes in the wood shop on the show, it's Nick's wood shop. I mean, they go to his place. This is his passion in life. He can sit and talk about different woods for hours. I mean, this is who he is. So I would have to say because of that, it would be Nick. But again, not the craziness of the libertarian kind of craziness that is Ron Swanson. So, but I guess I'd have to say Nick. Yeah, I think he's the closest. But again, he's not Ron Swanson.
Right. And yeah, it's weird. My dad's a woodworker, or I guess tries to be.
Sure, yeah, no, out, yeah, it's a hobby, yeah.
He gets magazines and everything like that, and one day it was, you know, Woodworker magazine or whatever, and, you know, Nick Offerman was on the cover, and it was just like,
yes,
he's totally Ron Swanson, you know, you're just wondering if inside the cover he's, you know, eating steak and, you know, doing whatever, but yeah.
And that is Nick, too. I mean, Nick loves a good steak. It's true. When we shot in Indianapolis, we went to the, I can think of a name. I feel bad. It was the actual name of the place. It's famous in Indy. It's a restaurant, and I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, we ended up eating there two or three different times, even when we weren't shooting, because you just want a good old steak. And,
exactly.
You know, he loves his scotch and Lagavulin. And, yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely characteristics that would be that they, because Nick is such an individual. When you meet him, he speaks. Even his speak, the way he speaks, is a little different than most people. He uses words, you're like, man, I don't even know what that word means. I've got to go look that shit up. But it's who he is. And I've had the honor of meeting his parents, and they're the kindest people. And his brother, Nick is a rare breed. He's a really rare breed. And he happens to be married to Megan Mullally, who is the love of his life. And the two of them together are special. It's what most people would wish for when you see mm-hmm. the two of them together.
Yeah, that I've only heard good things about him, and then actually everyone else on the cast too. You know, just it's so refreshing.
Other than that idiot O'Hare, what a son of a bee! Holy cow!
Oh, the things I've heard about him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes, okay, you got a big penis. Whatever. What else?
Yeah, that kind of gets to his head. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's it. No pun intended.
Exactly.
Hello.
But yeah, you know, I'm a huge fan. I won't say I'm the biggest fan because you probably get that from lots of people, but I really genuinely appreciate Parks and Rec, and, you know, it's a show that is rare, that only comes around, you know, every 15, 20 years, where the cast just meshes so well together. You know, I think of, like, Mary Tyler Moore Show, I think of Cheers, you know, shows that just the chemistry is so palpable that you just – you want to be there, you know, and you guys bring Pawnee to life, and it's such a pleasure to watch every week or over and over again when I watch marathons of it on Netflix or anything like that. But,
that's
you know, awesome. As for me and from all the fans and everyone I've talked to and getting ready for today is, you know, thank you personally for the show, and, you know, thank just, you know, in a day and age where each TV show lasts a season or two, and everything gets canceled, and pilot season sees new, like 150 new shows every year.
Yeah,
the solid, you know, mainstays that have, you know, really blossomed and, you know, have stick around, like, you know, Parks and Community, for instance. You guys are, you know, so special and so different, and it's a pleasure to watch.
You,
and I can only imagine that, you know, being on set is just a whole nother level of excitement. So
it's a gift every single day, and I hope I never ever lose that feeling that that's exactly what it is.
And thank you for, you know, giving that gift to all of us as well.
Oh,
thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and everything. And
this was a great interview. I do interviews all the time. You were right up there with all the best of them. You did a great interview, dude.
Thank you. This is my first one kind of ever. So thank you very much.
You nailed it.
Thank you, Jim. That means a
Okay.
lot.
Good luck. Keep me, informed of what you're doing through Twitter or whatever the hell it is we communicate
I
through.
definitely will. I any new big project comes up you want to talk about, let me know as well. And
You got it.
yeah.